Again, in your Bible, 1 John chapter number 3, I want to read to you down through verse number 10. And the scripture says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, you can already tell by reading two verses that this scripture could go in a lot of different directions today, and it's going to go in a direction that you're probably not expecting with me this morning. Verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him." This is interesting. He cannot sin. That's interesting, ain't it? He says, "Because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, we thank you for this time that we've got given the opportunity to come again into your presence. Father God, to share the word of God. Not that I can do anything of my own strength, not that I can do anything in my own power, but God, it is in you that we live, in you that we move, and in you that we have our being. So, Father, I pray, God, even now that you, Father, would touch us at this time. Allow the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, the aroma from heaven, to come and fill this room today. And, Father, I thank you, God, that because everything that's done here today is to be done to your glory and to your honor and to your praise. And, Father, we thank you well in advance for what you're going to do and for what you've already done. Open up the eyes of our understanding and let us hear thy word today as it comes from the throne room of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to go back and read verses 1 and 2. Again, if you took the time to tear apart these 10 verses of Scripture, there is so much in there. But what I believe the Lord laid upon my heart this morning is found in some way in verse number 1 and 2. And the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Has anybody in the room ever experienced the love of God? It changes your life, don't it? It does something for you. It does something on the inside of you. So when John was writing this, this is what he said, that God has bestowed his love upon you and upon me, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. We're never going to get the accolades of the world or the applause of the world for being a Christian or being a child of God. That'll all come a little bit later on, and we'll get there eventually. And he says, therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse number 2 says this, beloved, now we are the sons and daughters, the sons of God. We are right now in this present world, a right now situation, the children of God. We will get rewards for everything that we're doing now a little bit later on. You may be going through a trial right now. You may be going through a situation right now that you don't understand. You may be going through some type of dilemma right now that you don't want to go through, or you don't really understand why you're even going through everything you're going through right now. But the only thing that the Lord keep going over and over in my spirit was simply this. You tell them when you preach this message that the pain that you're going through is only temporary. That God has something far much more greater in store for those that are faithful unto Him. We see this throughout the Word of God. But then we look at this Word of God and He says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When I began to think about earlier in the week what I would be preaching both of these messages today, I felt like the Lord said to me these simple words. You preach something that would encourage the saints of God. We come and we talk about how evil sin is. We see our world that we're living in today, and my friend, it don't take long for you and I to figure out that we are living in a fallen world. We are living in a world that is vexed by hell, if you will. We're living in a world that is seemingly tore apart at the seams. But for the child of God, let me tell you something, friend. There's joy in the saints this morning. And this morning, the joy of the Lord, according to Nehemiah chapter number 8 and verse number 10, he says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You and I today, listen to this. This ought to be enough this morning to make a saint shout, amen, that you and I today will never ever have to suffer the punishment of hell. Think about that. You and I today, who are redeemed, who are currently the children of God, the heirs and joint heirs with Jesus, as the Bible gives us a description of what hell is all about. I don't know about you, and I don't preach on hell a whole lot, and some people think that hell will just be annihilation. You'll go there for a little while and then you'll float away, or you're burning up, or whatever the case may be. But friend, the Bible says where the fire is never quenched and where the worm never dies. The Bible lets us know when you look at the description of Lazarus and the rich man. The Bible says that he lifted up his eyes and in hell he was tormented in the flame. And the Bible said, oh, send someone, send Lazarus just a little tip of water on the tip of his finger to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this pain. My friend, when you think about hell this morning, we think about where the Bible says it's a place of weeping. Hell is a place where you will continually weep and never, ever, ever quit weeping. The Bible says it's an everlasting torment. It'll be the lake of fire. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire. It's a pain and anguish of hell. Oh, my friend, you and I today, is outer darkness. When we think about this place called hell, it is a place that every person under the sound of my voice needs to make up your mind today. That is one place that I will never go. And that is one place that I will never find myself. And you can do that today because God, through His Son Jesus, enabled you and I to become the children of God. And you and I today, as the saints of God, we ought to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We ought to be shouting today because of what God has done in our life. But we think about evil today. We think about evilness. We think about how that it stems from The devil himself, whether even in the Old Testament, he said that he would ascend and he would be like the Most High. And the Lord said that thou art cast down to the sides of the pit. Ever since the garden, way back with Adam and Eve, there's been this vendetta, if you will, that the devil has had against God, trying to get back at God, if you will. And the only way that he can do that is stealing you and me and our praise away from God and taking our souls out of the hand of God into everlasting darkness. But I got to serve notice on the devil today. I'm not a child of the devil. You're not a child of the devil if you're born again. If you're here today and you are a child of the devil, guess what? You're in a good place today, because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, and your life can change today, my friend. But we see here of how that the Bible gives us a description of the devil. He says this in verse number 8 of our text. And he gives this depiction of him, and he says of how that, for he committed sin, is of the devil. He talks about missing the mark. He's talking about those that find their comfort in the things of this world and the sinfulness of this world. And the Bible gives a description of the devil there in verse number 8. And the Bible says that he sinneth from the beginning, but yet the Bible says, for this purpose, that's what it says in the Word of God, for this purpose Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil, so that you and I today no longer are controlled by the things of the enemy of our soul, but we're controlled by the things of the Spirit of the Lord. Several verses of scripture I want to read in your hearing here. It's in Colossians chapter 1. And it gives us a portrait of what you and I actually were before we were redeemed. And he says, Paul was talking here, and Paul was saying this. He says, and you, in my Bible, I underlined you for an emphasis so that I could look at that when I preach this today, even though it's been underlined for years. And I looked at that you in that. And he says in Colossians again, chapter 1, verse 21. And he says, and you, I guess I'm in Colossians. Colossians 1 and 21, and you that were sometimes alienated. We were separated. We were away from God. Our sins had separated between us and God. And the Bible says, and enemies in your mind by your wicked works. So he says three things here. First of all, he says, you were at one time in this condition. The joy comes this morning simply because we are no longer in the condition that we were in when he found us. Somebody say amen. Thank God I've been redeemed. I've been changed. I'm not the same man I was when I was about 18 years old. One time I was alienated, the Bible says. I was away from God. You were. It's not a question whether or not. And sometimes it kindly still blows my mind a little bit, because we think that we're entitled and that God owes us something. But yet we think about the simple fact that when we were yet without strength, that Christ died for us. Why don't you just ponder in your mind for just a moment the condition that you were in when he found you? Hello, somebody. When you were in your sins and you were separated from God and you were in your wickedness, and I've said it again and again and again and again. I never want to be saved so long that I forget about what it felt like to be lost. Because, friend, I don't care how long you've been saved, I got to say it the way I feel it. Your righteousness is as filthy rags, and you don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. But yet somewhere, because God looked down through time and he looked at you and he looked at humanity and he looked at the temptation of the enemy in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he said, I'm going to send my son. And he, through Jesus, sent the answer that every man, woman, boy, and girl today could be redeemed from their sins. And this is what he's talking about. He said that we were alienated from God by our wicked works. By our wicked works, by the things that we did. But now I love this, and this ought to be enough to make us shout right here for joy, because God has given us joy. Are y'all awake today? God has given us joy today. Amen. Amen. God has given us joy today because we're redeemed. But my situation has changed, Brother Beckner. At one time I was lost and I was dying and I was on my way to a devil's hell. But thank God we can sing the song of the saints today. Amen. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. I've got the joy of the Lord. I was thinking of a Christmas song when I was thinking about this message. We only sing it at Christmas. And it says, joy to the world. The Lord, it's come. Hallelujah. Because of His coming, you and I today, we can stand before Him redeemed in the joy of the Lord. Because of the everlasting joy has came upon you and I. We were one time alienated. The Bible again teaches us that we were alienated from God because of our dead works. Now, I know that we're not saved by our works. I know that. I realize that. But we will be rewarded through and because of our works and because of what we've done. But this is what the Bible talks about, the works of the flesh. If you go back in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, and this is where he starts reading down through about verse number 26 or so. But he teaches us then in verse 16, this I say then. He says, walk in the Spirit under and by the power and the influence of the Spirit. The Bible teaches you and I, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, verse 16 of Galatians 5, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So that you cannot do the things that you would, the Bible said. But if you be led of the Spirit, and are under, not under the law. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, just bound to the things of the law to fulfill righteousness. He says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. I wasn't going to read this whole list. I pondered on it. I thought, well, I don't know if I want to go through all of that. But I thought, you know what? It's in the Word of God. And these are the things that will rob you of your joy. Amen. He says fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Thank you, I missed one. Adultery. Then he says in verse number 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, strife or variance. And he says hostility is variance, emulations is quarreling, wrath and strife and seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reviling, just rebel-rousing, if you will, and such like. He says, of which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, they, the Bible says, and they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not a part of the family of God. You're not a part. And people wonder today, why has it seemed like all the joy of America has went down the drain? My friend, it don't take a whole lot to figure it out, because this old sinful world that we're locked into is filled with envies and murders and strife and seditions and heresies and all these things the Bible talks about. But you and I, the Bible lets us know that you and I are not a part of these things, but we've been redeemed. And now the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit that is found there in the Scripture in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's how you love your neighbor, by the Spirit. And then he says, joy. Somebody say joy. Amen. If many of us had to ask our face if we were filled with joy, we probably would get a negative answer, because we base everything on happiness instead of what God has done in His redemption towards your soul. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad my soul's redeemed. I may have some tough days. I may have days that I don't like. I may have some days that might upset me. But I don't base my days upon my joy and my joy upon my days. Because I know that in my heart that God's redeemed me. Are you awake? I know today that in my life that the joy, that thing that pushes us every single day is the joy of the Lord. Joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance and faith and such like. We see this throughout of the Word of God, and I'm not going to take the time to read it because it would take a little bit too much time to stay there. But we look at Paul the Apostle. Paul even mentions this in the Scripture. I'm not going to turn there, but he talks about this in 1 Timothy, where that Paul looked at his own life. Paul looked at all the circumstances of his life and everything that he had been through. Paul was 2/3 of the New Testament was written by Paul. But yet we see that Paul gives a description of himself. And in this description of himself, he calls himself the chief of sinners. Paul knew what it was to be at one time was lost. Paul knew that. Paul was saying, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hello, somebody. For the child of God, those who are saved today, those who have had a born-again experience, those who have been redeemed, and those who have had the rebirth, and those that came through reconciliation, those who have their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, listen to this, that you and I will never suffer the bitterness of a separation from God. Amen. That ought to make you shout today and be filled with joy. There's a scripture that I looked up a little bit earlier and I thought about it. It's found over in the book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. It's where that Jesus was talking about the parables and how that the different ones got different rewards for their gifts and their talents and how they used their talents. But at the end of that, we see that where that the Lord of the servants made a pronouncement over their life. The pain that you and I may be suffering right now, my friend, the reward is not now. The reward is coming later. So whatever pain you go through, whatever pain I go through right now will far be worth it at the end of the journey. When you look at this scripture today, he says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just be faithful. Be faithful in whatever you're doing right now unto God. Be faithful. And I have to say this again because it's in my heart, that the reward is down the road. You may be going through things right now and wondering why in the world it might seem that joy is something that is very untangible or intangible unto you. But my friend, I know that before long, hallelujah, before long it's going to be okay. He reminded them in the scripture. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Just be faithful over the few things that God has made you accountable for. Your accountability and my accountability may be different. You be faithful over what God has set you over, no matter what it is in the church. But we think about it. We think about this in the scripture. We thank God, if he says in the word, he says, being faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. And then at the end of the journey, the Bible says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now in this text, again, when I look back at it, it says, it hath not yet appeared unto us. We've not yet seen it all. We don't know the whole story. But I thank God right now. That's why this message came about out of this text, that it came to my heart. Because he says here in the scripture, he said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us right now. The joy that you and I have right now stems from the fact that the Father loves us right now. Heaven is, I know, but a heartbeat away. I understand that. But yet in the same regard, we're the children of God now. And we ought to have the joy of the Lord right now. I got to do a survey. If you had a joy meter and it was 1 to 10, where would that meter hit on that? Your joy hit on that meter? Maybe 2? Maybe 3? There may be one person or two in the building that would have an 8 or a 9. I don't know. But see, we base joy on present circumstances. Our feelings and our emotion and whether our dog's sick or not. Come on, that's just an example. Whatever's going on in our life, we base our joy on that. But in all reality, we need to understand this. That joy is not based upon circumstances. That's happiness and sadness or all the emotion. But I want you to get in your heart and your mind today that the joy is based upon what Jesus Christ has done to redeem us and to call us out of darkness into this marvelous light. He says that in the Word of God. The Bible reminds us this over in the book of Psalm. There's 2 verses of Scripture I want to read there really fast. Psalm 32. Looking in verse 1 and verse number 2. In this particular psalm, it talks about the redemption and God changing us and our transgressions have been forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Look in verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not putteth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. We should have the joy. We think about the joy of the Lord again is our strength, and it comes from the simple fact of knowing that our sins are covered. Hallelujah. I don't know how that makes anybody in this room feel today, but joy will never come from the things of this world. It'll never come today. Real joy will never come today because of houses or lands and cars and wealth, and all of those things are great in the right place. But yet we think about this morning. We think about what this psalm says and what the Revelation saints say, that I'm redeemed by love divine. And what it is to believe today, or what a breath of fresh air to breathe today, just to be able to rest in the Lord and the sweetness of the fellowship with our wonderful Lord, and without the fear of condemnation and judgment from God. The world today is still walking around under the cloud of sin. But you and I, we get to sing the song, I'm redeemed. I thank God for salvation today. I thank God that I'm saved today. I thank God for that today. Isaiah, the Bible talks about this in Isaiah 12 and 3 in the Old Testament. And it gives us a whole description of that. And Brother Scott even mentioned this, not this scripture, but mentioned this in Sunday school. How therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation? He says, therefore with joy. Hallelujah. Thank God for joy today. Thank God for what God's Son has done for you and what God's Son has done for me today. We think about the word joy. What does it mean? It means this in different places. Several different places it actually talks about this. It talks about how that joy means to delight oneself in. And you can see it all throughout the Gospels. Even in the Scripture, we know that Jesus went through the trials of his life. Why did Jesus do that? Jesus in John 15 talks about he's the vine and we're the branches and we're to bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit, that our fruit should remain. But yet Jesus, in all that Jesus did, is found in John chapter number 15. I think it's verse 11, if I'm not mistaken. Verse 13. And this is what Jesus has done for you and for me. And he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man that would lay down his life for his friends. Roll that on down, Kathy. And then verse 14, and you are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded. Next verse, I think it is. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now I've got to turn there because I missed my verse. But look at this in Scripture. Jesus said there in all of this, he says that he's done all of this so that your joy and my joy would remain full. He says that in verse 11. I got ahead of myself there, didn't I? He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. That my joy might remain in you. His joy would remain in you. And that, the Bible says, and that joy might be full. Oh, back to that joy meter this morning. How full is your joy today? Huh? Would you come up lacking? Would I come up lacking today? I'm sure that everybody in this room could have a little bit more joy in their life. You say, well, preacher, if I wasn't going through the trial that I'm going through. I'm glad you let me say that today because I've got a scripture or two I want to talk about right there. You know it. Brother Steve knows it. He's the one that taught it to me. When you go into the book of James, chapter 1, James writes this in verse 1. And he begins to write this to those that would be the hearers of what he was saying. James 1 and 1, he says these words, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Follow me down. And he says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you go through many, several, diverse temptations. Somebody said, well, preacher, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Devil ain't bothering me in 6 months. I got the tiger by the tail. Ain't bothered me at all. He won't bother those that are his because he's already got you. But you begin to call out on the name of Jesus. You begin to do the right things for God, and you begin to do the things that God has required you to do throughout the Word of God. And guess what it's going to be? It's going to be just like when Job was there and they were praying and worshiping God, and then old Satan showed up. And then Job and the whole test there that came about. Hey, the devil ain't going to bother those. That's all he's already got. But he said, consider it not strange, the fiery darts that are to try you. Don't consider it strange because, hey, it's going to happen. Because the devil wants to come and steal your joy. You may be looking to your wife today. As much as I love my wife, she can't give me the joy that the Lord can give me. She can do a whole lot with me and for me, and we have a whole lot of fun together. But yet, in all reality, God designed this thing so that the joy that's talked about here comes only and exclusively from Him. He's the only one that can meet your need. You say today, I'm in a dark place. I'm in a lonely place. I'm in a barren place. Well, my friend, the only thing I can tell you is what the Bible says, and I'll get more into that in just a second. But he says here again, my brethren, count it all joy. You say, well, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in all of my life, to count it joy when I'm going through the temptations of my life. And then he says in verse number 3, as you begin to look down through here, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Just trying of your faith. Somebody says, well, God's trying to see what I'm made of. Exactly. Exactly. That's pretty much in a nutshell what it is. Amen. We'll never know. He even tempted Jesus in Luke 4 and in Matthew 4 both. Jesus, after he was hungry and after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry and the devil knew that. He came and the first thing he offered him was some bread. Give him something to eat. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Don't you know that when you're going through the trial of your life, that the enemy of your soul is going to come and try to steal your joy away? Men look at wives expecting them to fill the void of their heart. Wives look at husbands trying to get them to fill the void of their heart. In all reality, my friend, I'm going to break it down. It ain't nobody's fault but your own, because you've allowed other things to get in the way. And the enemy of your soul is having a heyday with your soul today. And he's coming. He's like a vacuum cleaner. He just sucked every bit of the joy out of you. And if there's anything we need in the church today, is we need to have our relationship with Jesus restored. God is here today to do that in this room. We see this in the Word of God again. Let me read this real fast. Verse number 4. He says this in the Word. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5 says this. We're going through verse 8. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and he holds back. He don't hold back nothing. He says, and it shall be given him. Verse 6 says these words. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, with the wind that is tossed. Verse 7 says, for let that man not think that he shall receive anything. The Lord, last verse, he says this, a double-minded man is stable of all of his ways. I love the world, but I love God. I love the world, but I love God. I love the world, but I love God. And the Bible says, love not the world. We've got to have a steadfastness. If you want your joy returned, my friend, we've got to once again get our eyes on Him. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. And I'm almost done, believe it or not. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this. He says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. May not be a sinful thing that's stealing your joy. And there's legitimate things that can steal your joy. But the thing that I'm trying to get us to see today is joy is in Jesus, not circumstances. I don't like everything I go through. I don't like paying bills. Hello? But I like to eat too. Come on, somebody. I don't like doing everything that we all have to do on a weekly or monthly basis. I don't like it that gas is $5 a gallon. But it ain't going to steal my joy. Hello, somebody. You say, well, I can't even hardly get back and forth to work. I understand. It's hard. I can't afford to buy peanut butter because now it's gone up $2 a jar and I'm going to have to quit eating peanut butter. But don't let it steal your joy. Don't let it rob you of what Jesus has done. Look at this. Let us lay aside the weight, the sin that so easily beset us. Let us run this race with patience. James mentions patience. Paul mentions patience. And then he said, the race that is set before us. Verse 2 is the main verse. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Looking. You need joy today? Look unto Jesus. There's probably 25 more verses that I could talk about today about joy. But I can't give you joy, but Jesus can. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Think about that. I was thinking about yesterday. I was working in my garage piddling a little bit. I was thinking about this verse of Scripture. I go to the garage and I piddle and I put messages together while I'm piddling, to be honest with you. These things, this is where I put stuff together in my mind. I was out there working yesterday just messing around and I thought about this Scripture that was set before him for the, who for the joy that was, this joy that was set before him. I thought about that, Tammy, and I thought about the that was set before him. What was it that was set before him? The cross. The cross. And you think about what you and I are going through now in comparison to what Jesus went through then, so that your joy and my joy could be full. I can be full of joy. I can be, and I know it's hard, but I can walk through hell, if you will, demons elbow deep. I've said that and I've lived that, I think, but I can still have joy because I don't base my spiritual joy, my relationship with Jesus, upon what I see going on around me. And so, preacher, how do you separate those two things? I would be a fool to stand up here and tell you that it's easy to separate those two things. But this is how I learned to do it, is I just stay focused on Him. Hello? Our world's in a mess. Our world is in a bad mess. Russia, Ukraine, China, all the stuff that we see going on. Do you realize that we've got a generation and generations, millennials, going all the way back to the 1990s, if you will? And even before that, there's people that could talk to me and could school me about things that went on in the early 70s up to 74 about the Vietnam War. 56 or so along through there with Korea and all of that. But even in my young age, Sandra, I didn't hear anything about war. I mean, that was something that was foreign to us. I mean, we didn't think, for after the Vietnam War, I mean, until 1990 in that area, I heard nothing about war. I mean, the whole time. And then when all this mess started in the early 90s, even now, it just seems like everywhere you turn, you see war on every hand. Children today, they don't know a world that you and I grew up in where they have to put all kinds of equipment in front of doors now, and still even stuff like that don't work. And some person goes and massacres 19 people in a schoolhouse. In spite of mental illness, in spite of all of that, it's still the works of the devil. And we look at all that's going on in our world today and you think, well, preacher, how can we ever have joy in our life today? The Bible again reminds us, and I'll get into some more stuff tonight. The Bible reminds us in the scripture of how that the Bible says that with the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Because he knew how much you and I needed to be redeemed. He knew how much that you and I needed to be saved. He knew how much that you and I needed to be born again. You think about the joy that was set before him. Jesus looked at the cross. And I know it's odd for us to say it this way, but it's the only way that I understand it. Even though Jesus suffered the pain and the anguish of the cross, it was still a joy for him to go to the cross to redeem you and I today. We think about that. The Bible again gives a description. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's he doing there? He's making intercession for you and making intercession for me. Jesus might not have enjoyed the pain, but yet pain, he understood that the pain that was temporary was the greater accomplishment to redeem humanity. Oftentimes in our lives, we go through uncomfortable things. Paul referred to them as light afflictions for the greater part of the good. Pain and suffering often are temporary, but yet we see in the scripture that eternity is forever. The scripture came to my mind today The pain won't always last. Are you with me today? Pain won't always last. The psalmist wrote in the scripture, weeping may endure for the night. Weeping may endure for the night. Right now, during this time that we're in, weeping may endure for a season. While we're in this life, we may have to go through some things and things that even make us weep. Weeping may endure for the night, but my friend, the joy comes in the morning. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart. And again, I don't try to be or to say or preach just for the simple fact of cliches and things of that nature. But yet when I was sitting on the couch yesterday, and I think it's yesterday, and I was working on this, I thought to myself, maybe in this room here this morning, maybe someone's night has been long. Maybe you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe it's the darkness has crept in and all around you is closing in. Maybe you're in a night season right now. Maybe today it's been long. Maybe the nights have been long, and maybe you feel like you can't make it much longer. And maybe today you just feel like you need a reprieve, or you just need a breakthrough in your spirit. I want you just to stand up right where you're at. Maybe that's you today. Just stand up. Just stand wherever you're at. You think, well, preacher, it seems like my joy is gone. Just stand up. And this is exactly what I wrote down and exactly how I felt like the Lord told me to do it. These that standing, 1, 2, 3. These folks are saying to you today, it's been a long night, 4, 5, 6. It's been a long night, preacher. Seems like the joy of the Lord is something that I have experienced in the past, but I'm not experiencing it now. Now, the rest of you, you're at a level 10 today. Thank God for you. But these folks said their tank's a little bit empty. And they need some joy. And those of you that are at level 10 today that's looking at me sitting down, God bless you. Tell me how you done it. Because I'm standing with these today. And this is what the Lord told me to do. Have them stand, and the rest of you that's sitting down, pray for these. The Bible says, pray ye one for another. So, Father, we pray for these today. We ask you, Father, to minister to them. We ask you, Father God, today, all over this room, these that stand this morning, we pray, God, that the joy of the Lord would be restored in their life. Father, I pray, God, for Dallas and for these children today. I pray, God, that you touch them, Father. I pray, God, that you would minister to them today. Touch Natalie today, God. I pray, God, for them that stand before us today, Brother Steve. I pray, God, that you minister to Jasmine today and Stanley today and Sheila today and Roger today. That, God, all around this room, that, God, you said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them today, God, and be the wind beneath their wings today. Strengthen them, Father. God, give them today, God, the strength that they need. Father, I thank you, God, for the joy of the Lord that becomes our strength. And Father, you said in your word that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Father God, let it be morning time to them. Let it become morning time to them right now. Oh, God carries all past home at last. Hallelujah to the Lord. And Father, I pray for the remainder of this congregation. That God, there's people in this room that did not stand. But God, inside they're hurting. Inside today, God, they're looking for answers. inside today, God. There's those that are pleading, God, would you touch me one more time? Would you fill me with your joy one more time, Lord? If that's you, just raise your hand and say, it's me, preacher. I need the joy of the Lord restored in my life. I need God to restore His joy over me. Oh, mighty God, in the name of Jesus today, would you restore the joy in the lives of your people today, Father? God, if we go back to that text and we read it, and it says that we are now the sons of God, the children of God, and that is why we have the joy today that we have. Because we're not children of the night. We're not children of darkness. We're not children of the devil. But we're the children of the Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening to my heart today. Thank you for allowing me to share what's in my heart today on the joy of the Lord. There's so much more that can be discussed in that topic. We're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about another segment of this message this evening. God bless you. Shake hands. Be friendly. Come back tonight if you can at 6 o'clock, and we'll see you then. God bless you as you go.